This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
God, we thank you that you are a God of victory. We thank you that you are a God who fights for us. We thank you that you are a God who never leaves us alone. God, we thank you that you see the end from the beginning. And while we are coming to you in the middle of the story, telling you what the circumstances around us look like here in the middle of the story, we thank you that you have already seen victory. Not only have you already seen victory, you have already secured victory. And God, so we thank you. We thank you that you love the world so much, not just the world in general, but each and every one of us in particular. You love the world so much that you sent your only son to live for us, to live among us, to teach us how to live, to die for us, and then rise again with all power, all victory in his hands. So God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love that leads to victory, oh God. God, we pray prayers for each and every household represented here this day, represented in the Zoom room this day. God, you know what people stand in need of. And so we thank you that you are yet answering prayers, even as they are forming in our minds, even as they are flowing off our lips. You are already sending answers our way. So God, we thank you for healing. God, we thank you for comfort. We thank you for peace, oh God. We thank you for freedom. God, we thank you for your victory. We thank you for financial breakthroughs. We thank you for miracles that we could not imagine, but yet we stand expecting, oh God. We thank you for your miracles in this season. God bless. God heal. God keep. God empower. God deliver. Like only you can. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you.
The Bible says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're going to read today first from Luke, the 5th chapter, and then one verse from Isaiah 6. Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Hear these words. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. And hear the word from Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who calls us to be your people and who declares that you will be our sovereign God, our faithful God, our loving God. Lord, use this word today to help us to understand how you would have us to live as your people in this world. I pray, oh Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart assembled is acceptable in your sight. In Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, it's no secret that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Even if this was your first day in any church anywhere, you probably have already heard that good news. And this is how we know what love is. That God sent Jesus that we might live through him. This is how we know what love is. Not that we love first, but that God first loved us. This is how we know love, that God so loved the world. But I wonder if you've heard the rest of the story. God so loves the world that God sends us into the world to serve, to teach, to help, to offer hope, to listen, to offer love to others in spirit and in truth. So what do you do when you get that call? I've asked before, when the Lord calls, does he get our voicemail? Do we hit that decline button, or do we open our hearts, open our minds to the new thing God desires to do in us and through us? When God calls, God who is love, so that means when love calls, I hope we say yes. That's our topic today. When love calls, say yes. But the truth of the matter is, if we didn't say yes right away, we wouldn't be the first of the followers to fail to answer the call. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, if you read the whole passage, verses 1 through 13, it describes the story of Isaiah's call. Isaiah was worshiping, y'all. The Spirit of God was moving, was alive and well in the temple, just as it has been in our temple in this season. He's worshiping, and the angels of God are worshiping, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, all the earth is full of his glory." The whole earth, including 1125 Welborn Road, the whole earth, including a breakfast nook in Bryan and a kitchen in College Station where someone is worshiping right now. The whole earth is full of his glory, including the basketball tournaments and the soccer games that sometimes capture our Sunday attention and attendance. The whole earth, including wherever it is we choose to enjoy an early football kickoff. The whole earth is full of God's glory. And friends, it's in the presence of God's glory that Isaiah receives this call to serve. Now, like many of us, he starts in with the excuses. "Well, Pastor, I would, but, well, you know, I used to, but now I." He starts with the excuses. "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and you see these people? I live among unclean people who have unclean lips." Friends, I want you to pay attention to the next part, just in case you are an excuse maker. God didn't say a word. God didn't say a word in response to that. Neither did the angels, but they sprung into action, bringing what he needed, hot coals to clean his mouth and get his mind right. Friends, we need to know that God is not going to go back and forth with us in our foolishness. God is not going back and forth with us in our foolishness. He didn't even answer Isaiah. And so some of us who are struggling to hear the voice of God, it might be that we're struggling to hear God speak because God doesn't hear us speaking what God wants to hear. Even though what Isaiah said was true, God didn't respond to him. What you're saying today to God might be true. What you're praying in your prayers might be the facts of the matter. It might be the circumstances of your story. It might be verbatim what everybody said about you whenever they said it. You might be giving God all the receipts, but that ain't what God is trying to hear. In the overwhelming presence of God's goodness, Isaiah starts to reflect on his badness. What a waste of energy. In the overwhelming presence of God's goodness, Isaiah reflects on his badness and the badness of other folks around him. What a waste. When God has already said, "You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased." Or as one pastor mentor of mine would say, "I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." So what is it that you think about when you are in the overwhelming presence of God's goodness? Isaiah was worshiping. The Spirit of the Lord was moving. And so then Isaiah confessed his sin, his faults. So maybe it wasn't an excuse. Maybe it was a confession. And perhaps he knew confession is good for the soul. Maybe he knew how much better, so much better he would feel, as the song says, when he laid his burdens down. Maybe there's something you need to lay down today so that your hands and your heart and your mind are free to answer when God calls. Once he unburdened himself, once he experienced his healing, once he refused to let sin separate him from God, then the Lord spoke. Verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And without hesitation, Isaiah says, 'Here I am. Here I am. Send me, Lord.'" And this is how we know what love is, that God pursues us, God woos us, even in the midst of our mess. God pursues us with a love that covers a multitude of sins. God pursues us with unmerited favor, blessings that we could not earn, that we did not deserve, that we may not have even been ready for. God pursues us with forgiveness that opens the door to redemption and a new way of life. God pursues us with grace that is so very sufficient. And what is the proper response to such love? Obedience, trust, commitment, loving in return. Friends, how do we respond when the love of God calls out to us? The agape love of God, that is. The agape, unconditional, all-encompassing, everlasting, non-prejudicial love of God. That's very different from the love that is being pushed to us on TV or in the stores right now. It's February, so Hallmark is in full force. Y'all know I love my Hallmark. So the movies are in full force. It's February. The candy has been in the store since the day after Christmas. Amen. It's February. So because of that Valentine's Day marketing to us, your pastor got love songs on our mind, right? And so when the sermon title came to me, I was not really thinking of religious things. I was thinking of the artist Kim and the song Love Calls. But when I went to go listen to the song, I came across something by a similar title by the group Atlantic Star. Now, if you know, you know. If you was there in the 80s, I see a few head nods. If you were there, then you know I had to listen to that one. That song, The Gospel According to Atlantic Star, says, "When love calls, you better answer. Don't let it slip away." Don't let it slip away. Who knows that Isaiah almost let it slip away? Worrying about the wrong thing, telling God why he wasn't good enough. Isaiah almost let love slip away, looking at the past and focusing on old wineskins, as Rose taught us last week. When love calls, you better answer. Don't let it slip away. When the church lets love slip away, people go hungry. Folks are lonely. They can't find their place in the community. When the church lets love slip away, injustice reigns in the world. Friends, when we let love slip away, the kingdom does not come on earth as it is in heaven. The poor don't receive the good news. The blind don't know that they could see again. The lame don't know they have a chance to walk. When we let love slip away, no one is invited to the table. That invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good never goes out. And so people don't eat of this bread of life that we will share. They never drink of this cup of forgiveness, this blood that never loses its power. That's what happens when we let love slip away. Friends, when love calls, say yes. When love calls, say like Isaiah, "Here I am, send me, Lord." When love calls, answer like the fishermen in our New Testament passage. They say, they obey, they take a risk, they step out on faith. When love calls, step out on faith again and again and again. even if you failed before. When love called in Luke 5, it was after Jesus had been teaching by the lakeside. So before we read an inch further, I need you to be reminded again of the importance of worship. Isaiah was in the temple worshiping. These fishermen were at a Bible study or worship. Either way, Jesus was teaching the word of God. I ask you on the first Sunday of this year what you thought might really happen if 2022 was the year you really read your Bible, the year you actually got serious about Bible study. What could you expect to happen in your life if you had a better understanding of what God wills for your life? So note to self, these folks were gathered in worship. The word asks us to forsake not to assemble together. They were gathered in worship. They were learning the living word when love called. Luke 5 and 4 says, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered like a lot of us answer who have been carrying the ball for our ministry, who have been carrying the ball for the church, who feel like we're the only ones saying yes. Simon said, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, little bit of excuse, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Lot of faith. And when he did what Christ asked, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. We read that the nets began to break. They called other boats for help. The rescue boats were so full, they were sinking. I can only imagine the overflow, the abundance that God desires to bless us with if we're willing to push out into the deep. That's not the kind of catch you can make on shallow water, on shallow faith, on shallow discipleship, shallow service. That's what happens when you move out into the deep waters. I can only imagine. He says, we've worked all night. We tired, Jesus. You see us washing the nets, trying to go home. But because you say so, we will. I wonder if there's anybody in here who knows something about because you say so, faith. The doctor says there was no hope, but because you say so, I'll keep believing for a healing. This medicine is more expensive than I can afford, but because you say so, I trust that you'll make a way and I'll be able to afford it. They say I'm not qualified for the promotion, but because you say so, I'll apply anyway. They say that the program is full. They're not accepting any more students, but because you say so, I'll apply. It hasn't worked before, but because you say so. I've already tried and tried and tried, but because you say so. I've given it everything I have, God, but because you say so, I'll push out into the deep. Nevertheless, at your word, some translations say, I will launch out again because you say so, Lord, I will. Friends, I saw someone post an update on her health status. It's somebody I met through a book club here in College Station. And a few years ago, she just started feeling a tingling in the body and a numbness in the body. And in a matter of months, she was paralyzed. An active clergy person, an artist, engaged in the community, paralyzed. Sitting in a chair, depending on people to do everything for her, but still moving around with a because you say so faith. Because you say so, I'll try to do these exercises when I don't feel my toes moving, when I don't even know I have a foot down there. Because you say so, I'll still do it. I'll keep these doctor's appointments without anything happening week to week, month to month, because you say so. I'll keep showing up and I'll even try new things. I'll get in the swimming pool and try to walk three steps because you say that that might help me, because you say so, Lord. I'll do that. That woman is walking again, y'all. That woman is walking again because she exercised some because you say so faith. It doesn't look like nothing, doesn't look like I should be able to, but because you say so, I'll try again. I have tried before. It's been 6 months, it's been 16 months, and I ain't moved yet, but because you say so, I'll show up at the pool one more time. And I wonder where it is we're to show up one more time. I wonder if any of us are giving up on our because you say so faith just one day too soon, 1 week too soon, 1 hour too soon. Because you say so, I will. This is how we know what love is. That when love calls us to launch out into the deep, we do it. Even if the deep is simply just loving someone a little harder who's a little bit hard to love. Amen. When love calls us to push out from the shore, we push. We step out of our comfort zone into the unknown. As the song says, Spirit, lead me to that place beyond borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. Friends, what would it look like to push out a little deeper in your faith? Would you worship more? Would you come to church more? Or maybe that's not you. Maybe you're here every week, but could you worship with more focus? Could you worship in spirit and in truth when you're here? If you pushed out a little deeper, would you give more? You're about to get those contribution statements in a moment. And I wonder, when you check your bank statement at the end of the month, are you giving as much to First UMC as you spend on Amazon or at HEB or Specs or the smoke shop or Ford or Cadillac or Lexus, whoever? What does it look like if you launched out into the deep? What would your spending look like? I'll let y'all catch up. I know. I tried to get everybody. I tried to get everybody. Because you might not be one of those places, all of those places, but one of them got you. What would it look like if we launch out into the deep? In the name of Christ, in the name of love, who would you serve? What ministry would you birth? What ministry would you breathe new life into? And friends, maybe you don't know just yet, because the reality is we can't see everything from the shore. We can't see everything from the shore. And from your present place of discipleship, you may not be able to see what the needs are way out there in the deep. Sometimes we've got to leave our comfort zone, talk to somebody we wouldn't normally talk to, go to a place we wouldn't normally go. We have to leave behind old routines, old wineskins, as we said, and take a leap of faith before we can see what it is God is calling us to. And this is how we know what love is. Just learning to say yes to God's call. Yes to Christ's call, yes to love's call, wherever it may lead us. The psalmist Kim says it this way: let love have its way with your heart when love calls. And for those of us that be trying, he says there's nowhere to hide when love is calling your name in from the dark. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. So let love have its way with your heart when love calls. Friends, when we let love have its way, God, who is love, sends us into the world to love others. Luke 5, verses 10 and 11 say it this way. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Left everything and followed him. Have we? Isaiah felt too guilty to serve. Maybe that's you. The fishermen were ashamed because they had doubted what would happen. They doubted what Jesus could do. Maybe that's you. They had not expected a miracle. Maybe that's you. They had not thought that because you say so, faith would work for them. It worked for her and it worked for him, but I don't know if it'll work for me. Friends, I wonder what, if anything, from your past, from your present, do you think disqualifies you from fulfilling your calling? Because that's what Isaiah was talking about, his past, the kind of man he was. What do you think disqualifies you? Confession is good for the soul. After Isaiah confessed his sin, he refused to let sin separate him from God, and he responded, "Lord, here I am. Send me." What, if anything, from your past or your present, do you think disqualifies you from fulfilling your calling? What keeps you from living as God's beloved, who loves God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength? What keeps you from loving your neighbor as yourself? The disciples cast their nets into deeper water in response to Christ. Obedience, it seems, is the only way to answer the call of love. Friends, I wonder, is obedience your first, your only response to God's call, to love's call? When love calls, will you say yes? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.